Again, good morning, Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Let me read that scripture one more time. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 46. We told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This morning, I want to share from the subject, the power that was promised. The power that was promised. Benjamin Franklin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I'm certain he would be astonished to hear how much he is being quoted during this viral epidemic. With no cure, all we have is prevention. In a world focused on quick fixes, empowerment often comes in common sense form. Wash your hands, cover your mouth, stay home if you are sick, don't travel, avoid large gatherings. Sometimes common sense is all you have. Benjamin Franklin also said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. In other words, preparation is the key to success. You cannot build a house until you lay the foundation. You cannot rebuild a carburetor unless you first study the manual. You cannot perform open heart surgery until you have gone through years of schooling. You cannot raise a child unless you first develop some good parenting skills. Well, maybe you can, but it might not turn out very well. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That is the same advice that Jesus gave his disciples on the day of his ascension. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave them specific instructions on what they were to do and how they were to do it. Jesus let the disciples know that if they were going to be successful in fulfilling their mission to spread the gospel to all nations, they first had to be properly prepared. There was a very important spiritual foundation that had to be laid. God had a provision up his sleeve that would ensure their evangelizing success. After all, Jesus knew the obstacles that lay ahead for his followers. Jesus knew that Simon Peter would be hung upside down on a cross. Jesus knew that Andrew would be hung from an olive tree. Jesus knew that James, son of Zebedee the greater, would be the second martyr. Jesus knew that John would be boiled in oil and live out his days alone on Patmos Island. Jesus knew that James, the son of Alphaeus, would be pushed from a rooftop and beaten until dead. Jesus knew that Philip and Bartholomew would be hung upside down on a cross, and Philip's preaching from that cross would cause the onlooking crowd to call for the release of Bartholomew, but Philip begged not to be released. Jesus knew that Thomas would take the gospel to India and be martyred there. Jesus knew that Matthew would be beheaded in Ethiopia. Jesus knew that Jude, known as Thaddeus, would be beaten with sticks for preaching against pagan idolatry. Jesus knew that Simon the Zealot would be crucified by the governor of Syria. Jesus knew that Matthias would replace Judas and be stoned to death in Jerusalem. And Jesus even knows what you and I are dealing with on today. We may have to pore over hundreds of ancient manuscripts to find these truths, but Jesus already knew. And he knew that in order to ensure the spread of the gospel, these men would have had to be endowed with supernatural power, the power that was promised. No pep rally was going to prepare them for what lie ahead. No campaign slogans, no heated chants, not even common sense strategies would ensure their success. If this worldwide evangelistic thrust was going to be victorious, Jesus knew it would take some supernatural intervention. What these men needed was a comforter. Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, a promise that would guarantee their high-powered performance, a promise that would guarantee the success of their mission, a promise that would guarantee that no weapon formed against them would be able to prosper, a guarantee that when their tasks were complete and this bitty walk of time was over, Jesus would prepare another place for them. A house not made by hand, eternal in the heavens. They did as Christ commanded and tarried in Jerusalem waiting for that promise. And it came like a rushing mighty wind. It lit upon their tongues like fire, and the disciples were infused with this miraculous power from on high. What does this power that was promised by the Comforter provide? The Apostle Paul wrote that now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. If we gain something from the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, what is it that you and I gain? The first thing I want to suggest is we are saved. My brothers and sisters, we are saved through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God's Holy Spirit opens our hearts to receive the truth about Christ, that whosoever believeth in Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life. We are saved by Christ and we move forward by the aid of the Holy Spirit in faith. Christ's Spirit is our lifeline, our sustenance, our helping hand. His penetrating power opens our eyes to see the truth of the gospel. His power unstops our ears to hear the truth of the gospel. His power loosens our tongue to confess our need for the gospel, and that it might change our lives with his salvific balm from Gilead. Not only, my brothers and sisters, are we saved, but we are also sanctified and we are filled. The Holy Spirit cleanses us from all unrighteousness and reveals God's thoughts to us as he teaches and guides us to all truth, including what lies ahead in our future. We don't fumble our way through life's calamities with no means of combating the enemy. We are more than conquerors because we have the power of God within us. His power removes our fears of what lies ahead. His power solves our problems when we reach the finite limits of our own ability. His power satisfies our hunger for grace and mercy. Have you ever looked back over your life and wondered how you got over? Have you looked back and wondered how you got over the loss of a job? Have you looked back and wondered how you got through that illness? Have you looked back and wondered how you walked away from an accident that totaled your car? Have you looked back and wondered how you survived broken relationships? Have you looked back and wondered how you made it through? And maybe even today, we are looking back and wondering, how will we make it through these dire times? John wrote, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It was the Holy Spirit who helped you and me in our times of weakness and interceded on our behalf. And that's why we can sing, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. It is Christ's Holy Ghost power that moves us forward in victory. Not only are we saved, not only are we sanctified and filled, but finally,
We are sealed. God's filling station will never run out of fuel. We are sealed until the day of redemption. Job declared, my offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin. The Living Bible says we are branded. God has put his brand upon us, his mark of ownership, and given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee that we belong to him and as the first installment of all that he is going to give us. Fraternities have long used branding to identify themselves. Even Christians have their own identifier. It may be a cross around our neck, a Bible under our arms, or a bumper sticker that simply says, honk if you love Jesus. It may be a slogan we place on Facebook. Identifying with a group or organization is important. It helps us to know when we are in the company of others like us, because we draw encouragement from it. We draw strength from it. We draw peace from it. But there is no brand like the Holy Ghost, which gives us all of this and more. The Holy Ghost removes our burdens and gives us blessings, removes our shame and gives us sunshine, removes our loneliness and gives us love, removes our guilt and gives us glory, removes our filth and gives us freshness, removes our sorrow and gives us joy, removes our torments and gives us triumphs, removes our foolishness and gives us wisdom, removes our weakness and gives us strength, removes our hurts and gives us healing, removes our darkness and gives us light. The Holy Ghost removes our heartaches and gives us hope. Since the disciples' Pentecost encounter, every Christian has been baptized with that self-same spirit to ensure our own gift of a promised power as faithful followers of Christ. You may not feel as though you have that power, but look at what the Comforter has been able to do through you. It's the Comforter who enables you to live a righteous and faithful Christian life. It's the Comforter who acts as your paraclete or intercessor in perilous times. It's the Comforter who intercedes and gives you the power to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, to endure all things that you might obtain eternal glory. James said, behold, we count them happy who endure. It was President Jimmy Carter that said, we should live our lives as though Christ was coming this afternoon. So let a man examine himself. How are you performing today? Are you allowing this power that was promised to be fulfilled in you? Have you been endowed with the Spirit from on high? We must never forget that our good intentions aren't good enough. Our modest appearance isn't good enough. Our charming influence isn't good enough. Our controlled appetites aren't good enough. Our noble efforts aren't good enough. Our inspired singing isn't good enough. Our zealous works aren't good enough. Our glowing testimonies aren't good enough. Our high standards aren't good enough. Our forgiving spirit isn't good enough. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was Job who said, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. If the Spirit has given you life, you will have joy in the midst of sorrow, courage in the midst of conflicts, peace in the midst of persecution, satisfaction in the midst of suffering, foundation in the midst of frustrations, power in the midst of problems, boldness in the midst of battles, trust in the midst of trials, help in the midst of hardship, encouragement in the midst of failure, contentment in the midst of crisis, advantage in the midst of affliction, and even a glow in the midst of your grief. If that's you this morning, the Holy Spirit is showering you with the power
that was promised. May God bless his word for the people of God. And may it encourage you to continue moving forward, knowing that God has given us the power to keep on pressing through this life. Even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of injustice, we have the power and we have the good news to spread God's word. God bless you, and may the Lord bless you.